This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Right now, when you purchase the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you get a free UVC portable light. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in How We Deal. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Politics has become so toxic. I hope my dad is able to bring back his desire to take some of that toxicity out.
If I flip this switch, the entire world is going to be just as toxic as us, baby.
Biden's name is synonymous with democracy and transparency. And that's why I said that it was gold to them.
You know, I feel like I learned a lot about crack.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Born free as the wind.
Sing along if you know it.
As free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart.
That is the voice of an angel.
Do you practice what you preach? And I think that's where we're going to find out that a lot of latte liberals that sit up with $10 latte coffee drinks and don't want to change how they do business themselves.
So come on down to Latte Larry's and have a hot cup of spite with me.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Now, I was in a line the other day, standing behind this group of soy boys, and the conversation I heard could have been written into a script of some terrible network TV sitcom with a laugh track built into it. And it was about lattes. One of them had gone into, you know, Starbucks, and they were complaining they were out of soy milk, so they had to suffer with almond milk instead. And it was much ado about milk substitutes. And I thought, and these were kids younger than myself. I thought, well, what a weak society we're going to have if this is what we're complaining about. 844-500-4242. So the war against Ron DeSantis is far from over. And Grace has a piece in Spectator US, by the way, on Ron DeSantis, if you want to go check that out. And the whole 60 Minutes. So 60 Minutes tried to smear him and putting in this fake narrative. And Ron DeSantis, he's a very capable politician. Not just a politician, he's a very capable free-thinking American is what he is, and he knows how to fend for himself. 60 Minutes came after him, and they tried to get the jump on him by interrupting one of his conferences, press conferences, and saying, well, how come, you know, Publix has donated, $130,000 to your campaign, and, they almost exclusively got the right to distribute vaccines. He dismantled it, saying, no, that's not true. They just happen to be the largest pharmacy grocery chain in the entire state. They're able to distribute it much faster. We also have deals with other pharmacies who are serving a certain sector of the population first. And once they're done serving that sector of the population, they're also going to be able to distribute the vaccine publicly to whomever, you know, first come, first serve basis. And he had point after point after point, but 60 Minutes continued with the narrative. And once they were caught with their pants down as far as cutting out his comments to make it serve their narrative, they had the audacity, they had the cojones to come out and say they cut his comments out for the sake of clarity. Translation is, he was making too much sense. And this piece would not have worked had we let Ron DeSantis ramble on his points. So that wasn't enough. You know, the rest of the mainstream media, they didn't touch this story because they knew there wasn't any credence to it. 60 Minutes tried their best and came up short. So now, the latest faction to go after Ron DeSantis is YouTube. And this story is out today. NBC News covering this. Video of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and a panel of scientists apparently trading in COVID-19 misinformation has been pulled from YouTube. The video of DeSantis's roundtable discussion last month at the state capitol in Tallahassee was removed Wednesday because it violated the social media platform's standards, YouTube spokesperson Elena Hernandez said. First of all, I wasn't even aware that YouTube was now a social media. I thought it was just a video site. That's what it used to be. It had been embedded in a Tampa area TV station's news story, and its removal was flagged by the American Institute for Economic Research, a free market think tank based in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Because why not? All great things come out of Massachusetts. Hernandez said in a statement, YouTube has clear policies around COVID-19 medical misinformation to support the health and safety of our users. We removed AIER's video because it included content that contradicts the consensus of local and global health authorities regarding the efficacy of masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So what was the big deal? By the way, Fauci last week came out, and I'm sure you can still get this video on YouTube. He was asked, actually it was earlier this week, he was asked why Texas was seeing fewer new cases, fewer hospitalizations for COVID, even though they're opening up and they've been open for a month. He came out and said, it's kind of confusing. We don't really know what's going on. There could be a lag in some of the data. Who knows? Mr. Know-it-all Fauci is saying, who knows? Lag in the data by a few weeks. This whole time, not to get too far off the main point here, this whole time we've been told that there's a two-week lag between catching the virus and testing positive for the virus, getting symptoms from the virus, being hospitalized from the virus, dying from the virus. There's a two-week lag. That's what I've known just simply sitting here and watching everything unfold. 2 weeks. We're talking, Texas has been open for more than a month. And that's for those of you keeping score at home, that's more than 4 weeks. And Fauci comes out and says, it's because there's a lag? And this is the guy that's heading everything up. Okay. Hernandez said YouTube only allows videos that otherwise violate our policies to remain on the platform if they contain sufficient educational, documentary, scientific, or artistic context. So what was the big lie here? What was the claim from these scientists, these quote-unquote scientists that Ron DeSantis had brought together? Well, it had to do with masks and children. I believe it had to do with the efficacy of masks and children. Remember, all of these studies we've seen, all of the research that has gone out there has shown that children are not great spreaders. They're not super spreaders of this virus. It's rare that they'll pass it on to somebody not their age. It's rare, first of all, that they'd even get sick from this virus to the point where they'd need any immediate medical care. YouTube claimed they removed the video because it contradicts the consensus of local and global health authorities. Dr. J. Bhattacharya of Stanford University, one of the scientists on the panel, said this was a policy forum in which it was appropriate to consider both the benefits and costs of a policy, the policy being child masking, when making judgments and recommendations. YouTube censorship of our discussion is contrary to American democratic norms of free expression, the professor said in an email. It is also a violation of basic standards of scientific conduct, which stand in opposition to unreasoned silencing of contrary views and require the free exchange of ideas. Earlier, AIER editorial director Jeffrey Tucker insisted in an article Wednesday on the think tank's website that YouTube censored DeSantis and the scientists and called it the latest attack on public health information. Again, this is just the latest smear against Governor Ron DeSantis because he's leading a state where it's wide open, it's free. You can wear a mask if you choose. You can wear a mask if you don't choose. you can get a vaccine if you choose. Vaccine rollout program has been working just fine. Cases are down. Not so many hospitalizations. Not so many deaths as other states. And even the Today Show this morning, they were going off on, how could it be? You know, Michigan and Pennsylvania and all these New England states, their numbers are blowing up and they've got some of the most stringent lockdowns going on. Yet Texas and Kentucky, they're doing quite well. They're opening up their economies and we're not seeing, well, it's the testing. Oh, they're not testing as many people now. That's how. That's why. I don't think so. The lags would have shown hospitalizations and deaths. It's not the testing. Don't be stupid. So they've taken this video down because they were just simply questioning if it's a good idea to mask children. Just for questioning. YouTube said, no, we can't have free thought. I question the COVID kings. Are you serious? How could you do such a thing? Take the video down. Meanwhile, if you go onto the 60 Minutes official YouTube channel, you can still see the video of a one Saint Dr. Anthony Fauci back in March of 2020 saying this.
In the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
That is a video you can still see for yourself on YouTube under the 60 Minutes CBS official YouTube channel. You can see it for yourself, March 2020. That's what Dr. Fauci was saying. And by the way, it was bigly misinformation. He was lying about the masks by his own, don't take my word for it, and he said it himself. He was lying by his own admission because he wanted to make sure that there wasn't a shortage of masks, that there wasn't a shortage of PPE. He wanted to ensure that the PPE got all to the correct people, the frontline workers, the doctors, the surgeons, the nurses, all of those people, all the frontline workers, the first responders, the heroes, they all have to get masked up. Meanwhile, we've got older people walking into grocery stores and 2 weeks later dropping dead because of this thing. Because Dr. Fauci, St. Anthony, Dr. Fauci, said we shouldn't be wearing masks. And YouTube has the audacity to pull down a video of scientists, probably much more qualified than this, another octogenarian here who hasn't seen a patient probably 40 years, if at all, takes their video down and leaves his misinformation up. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
I can still teach you a few, kid. You're just a tin horn thug and you always will be. You haven't got the guts to be anything else.
The Howie Carr Show.
Nice. It's the fifth dimension with the sixth dimension, Frank Sinatra singing Sweet Blindness. I believe that was one of his A Man and His Music specials. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Gabby Insurance. Put your car and home insurance to the test with Gabby. They literally stand for Get a Better Insurance. That means a better price for the same coverage. Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. go to gabby.com/Howie. Matt's on the board. Matt, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
So it's, who do you feel more sorry for? Joe Biden because of Hunter as his son, or Hunter Biden because Joe is his dad?
I think I'm more sorry, if I have to be sorry for either one of them, and I'm not very, if at all, but I would be more sorry for Joe that Hunter is his son.
So 38% agree with you, so 62% think Hunter Biden is, they feel more sorry for Hunter Biden.
How much was it?
62%.
62, that's pretty stable. All right, so that's fine. Eh, you can feel that way. I'm in the minority today. That's okay. I don't feel sorry for either one of them, but, and that's a tough choice to make. You, the saying goes, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your family. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phone lines. David, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, David.
Oh, howdy, Taylor. Yeah, long time no talk. I usually talk with you on WBSN.
Oh, wow. Going way back there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was oh, by the way, you were playing some Fifth Dimension.
Yes.
I don't know if you know it, but they got banned from the radio right after 9/11 because of their song Up, Up and Away. And there were that big corporate chain, Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm.
They had a famous list of songs that they were going to ban from the airwaves because it would remind people of 9/11 and be too traumatic. And
there was also in that same vein, David, not to cut you off, but in that same vein, I think there was in the movie industry a movement to digitally remove the Twin Towers from the New York skyline whenever there was a shot of Manhattan in an older film.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one, but if you go over to Snopes and you say banned song list from 9/11, it comes up and it gives you that whole list. It's amazing.
Interesting.
A whole bunch of just famous quiet songs about beautiful skies and all sorts of different things. In fact, I think even John Lennon's, one of John Lennon's songs, Imagine.
All of them.
Banned.
All of them should be banned. All of them. David, we've got a minute. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, well, the other thing I was on was infrastructure. You know, we just had our census. And if you know the logic of the census, it's to find out how many people are in a given town so that you can plan ahead. You know, how many cars are going to be driving down your highways? How many butts are going to be on the toilets? How big does your sewage system need to
right.
be?
Yeah.
How many people are drinking fresh water? So the infrastructure bill comes right after the census. So no Republicans are voting for anything for their districts for the infrastructure right after the census this year. Just amazingly stupid.
Well,
and
can you blame them? Can you blame them, David? Only 5% of the infrastructure bill is designated towards actual infrastructure. The, you know, the common sense, traditional meaning of the word infrastructure: roads, bridges, things of that nature. I'm sorry, care for the elderly is health care. It's not infrastructure. I'm sorry we have to hold you there. We're out of time. We'll be back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Just looking at some of the particulars of Joe Biden's infrastructure bill, of which I just said before the break, only 5% of the bill actually goes toward what I think most of us would consider actual infrastructure. Roads, bridges, I suppose you could throw in things like dams, you know, things of that nature, canals, Cape Cod Canal, I would consider that a piece of infrastructure. That's a waterway that's used to travel, man-made, something we can maintain but more importantly, the Sagamore Bridge, the Bourne Bridge, those things are infrastructure and in need of replacing. At least one of them is the Sagamore Bridge. That's going to take years and years to replace. That's infrastructure, folks. That's, I'm looking over 128 right now. That's infrastructure. That street that you drive down every day, that you know every pothole by heart. You could close your eyes and still swerve and avoid them. That's infrastructure. We had a poll question yesterday asking if high-speed internet should be considered infrastructure. Howie said no. I didn't say this, but my initial thought on the matter was, well, it's really a commodity these days. It's something that you need. It's something that a lot of people use the internet to get to work. A lot of people use it for work. It's more of a commodity these days than a luxury. But, I mean, so is any information gathering. I mean, the internet is not just made for getting you to work. It's an entertainment. It's most of it's nonsense, to be frank. Most of it's complete and utter garbage. Some of my favorite websites are complete trash. You know, just looking over the social media all day, it's garbage. It's, as George Carlin would say, it's bad for you. It's all BS and it's bad for you. It's not infrastructure. I was wrong in my initial thoughts yesterday. It's not infrastructure whatsoever. It's a luxury. Even internet at its most basic dial-up form is a luxury. It is not a commodity. It is not infrastructure. It's not something that you are entitled to. Nobody is walking up to you and handing you your newspaper in the morning, or at least not anymore. If they did at one point, it was based on a subscription service, or you went to the coffee shop and you put your quarter in the machine, opened the door, and took out your copy of the New York Times. It wasn't handed to you. That information was not given to you. You had to purchase it because people worked for it. People worked to keep the internet up. Infrastructure is something where the government puts a project out to bid. First, there's a proposal, right? There's a proposal. It's voted on. Should we create a highway that runs from, New Bedford to Boston, okay? Should there be a highway that connects New Bedford to Boston? Yes, okay. So how much is it going to cost? Well, you know, we'll decide that. Let's get the, what are we going, all right, 140 to 24, well, Route 24, that's the big highway, right? Okay, so we'll build Route 24. Let's put out the design plans. This is what we want. This is how we want it to look. This is how many cars we want to be able to drive across it safely each day. And, you know, there's all kinds of studies and there's surveys and there's all of this nonsense to do with the spotted salamanders and the split-tongued toads and whatever else have you. Okay, then the project is put out to bid. The project is put out to bid. And whether that's on the level or not is a completely different discussion. It's put out to bid. Company bids on it and they come through. Or MassDOT, you know, however it works. That's how it works when it comes to government-funded infrastructure. Roads, bridges, things of that nature. It does not work that way for the internet. There is competition out there. There's different providers. They go for different contracts. They in different cities, different towns, some of them have monopolies. Those of you who use a certain provider know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't have your own choices when it comes to internet, but it's out there. It's a private industry. It's a private service. It's a luxury that you pay for. I just increased my plan last night by a few bucks so I could have some faster speeds in my house. That's a luxury to me. I can afford to do that, and I'm blessed as all hell that I can do that. And it is unfortunate for people who do not have that luxury, but internet is an affordable luxury now these days. You don't have to spend all kinds of money on stupid things at the store. If internet is what you want, you can find a way to get it. It is not infrastructure. Joe Biden thinks it is, though. He thinks it is. He put out a video on his Twitter feed today saying that it's infrastructure. But, you know, and he said in this video, 100-some-odd million people don't have access to high-speed internet. It's not just internet. He's looking for high-speed internet. He said 150 million people don't have access to high-speed internet. Well, here's Joe Biden not too long ago, just a couple of months ago. I believe he was already elected president at this point. Here he is talking about people who don't have access to internet and how well they're able to use it. Go ahead, Matt.
A lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
So he thinks minorities, Hispanics and African Americans, are not smart enough to use the internet to book an appointment to get a vaccine. Yet he wants to provide infrastructure, high-speed internet, to people that he thinks have no intuition when it comes to using a computer. I said it then, and I'll say it now. I would love for Joe Biden, I would pay good money to see somebody put a laptop down in front of him. I will even give Joe a head start. I'll give him a handicap. I will have that person turn the laptop on for Joe Biden. But after that, I would like to see him book a vaccine appointment in under 20 minutes. I think that's a good sufficient use of time. 20 minutes. And then, well, let's see what happens. I don't think he'd be able to do it. 844-500-4242. Zebra, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Taylor. Thanks for being there on Friday, and it's a tough commute time when everyone's trying to head out the door. So I appreciate it. I'll be quick. What do you think about these companies like Delta? And do you think they're going to try to backdoor some financial remuneration from the Biden administration? The $40 million they're going to lose in diesel fuel or aircraft fuel and Major League Baseball, are they going to go hat in hand to the Biden administration and say, hey, you got to pay us our money back?
As far as what? I'm not exactly sure as far as...
On the airline fuel,
yeah,
they're projected to lose $35 million in taxes. And Major League Baseball, I've personally, I'm making a list. I watch hockey now, but I've crossed the rest off. If they're going to do this, the only way I can vote outside of the elections is with my dollar.
Oh, as far as you're talking like cancel culture, things like that.
Yeah, well, baseball has done it with the All-Star game. They're pulling it out. I read the new voting law in Georgia, and it seems reasonable. So if they're just trying to virtue signal, and Delta stockholders are going to be out what, $35 million a year minimum.
Well, you're right, Zebra. It is a completely reasonable law, and it actually makes voting easier and more accessible. And all it does is it puts heavier restrictions on electioneering. You know, if you wear a sticker at within 100 feet of a polling place, you're technically electioneering, right? If you bring a sign and you're telling people to vote for whomever, and you're within a certain distance of a polling place, you're electioneering. If you're handing out water and beverages and you're wearing a sticker, you're saying this is on the condition that you're going to vote for my candidate. That's electioneering. But the problem is, there's two problems with that, and that is, one, the mainstream media is so deceptive that that's all they put into the headline, that this Georgia law is going to take away the ability to get drinking water, the right to live while you're standing in line waiting to vote. And that's what they'll put into the headline. The second problem, and it goes in hand with the first problem, is that you have uninformed voters, uninformed readers across the nation only reading the headline to a story and getting infuriated and sharing that on their social media and with a bunch of other stupid people that aren't going to read the entire story. And you get people all worked up over nothing. That's why it's a cycle after cycle after cycle, and it only feeds for the ratings of that mainstream media corporation. That's all they do it for, is the ratings, the clicks, and it's disgusting. And you know, I think to a degree, all of us are guilty of some point just reading a headline and getting infuriated over something, because we fall for it. We're human. We fall for the gotchas. We fall for the clickbait. I don't see the U.S. government giving reparations to any of these companies because they're losing revenue. That's their problem. Go woke, get broke. That's what I say. Thanks very much for the call, Zebra. I do appreciate it. 844-500-4242. Since a young age, I've always wondered why companies, corporations find it pertinent or find that anybody gives a rat's, you know what, that they make their voice heard on a certain issue. Why do companies, why do corporations feel that they have to be the driver for social change and social justice? And again, that's a very vague term. That's correct. But you know what? I would imagine if I were a CEO of a company and I had a board of directors to report to, or stockholders to report to, people from all different walks of life, I think I would find I would make more money by shutting my mouth and making a better product more accessible to more people at a better price than I would if I were to make a mediocre product that costs more money because I'm not making as much money on it because it's a mediocre product, and I were spouting off about the pay gap between men and women. I would think the board of directors and the stockholders would be a lot happier with situation A over situation B. Connie, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Connie.
Taylor.
Hi.
Doing a great job, and I'm enjoying the show again today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You all do a good job. My two cents on the MLB and the whole baseball moving All-Star game idiocy. I've heard a little bit about this discussion, and I haven't heard anyone make this comment, even though I'm sure someone has.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to point out my thought, which is Stacey Abrams and all her high wokeness, why hasn't she gone for the gold and just eliminated baseball entirely? I mean, if there's one thing that actually was, we have to say, racist, it was the MLB.
Right. The MLB certainly was. I mean, there's movies about it, obviously. That's a good point, Connie. It has been raised to a degree. You know, if the All-Star game is too good for Atlanta, why aren't the Braves too good for Atlanta? Why are they playing regular season games in Atlanta? Why does that field even exist? You know, the movie industry is there because the tax breaks are really good in Atlanta. All the Marvel movies have been based out of Atlanta for some time now. And that's because they get amazing tax breaks for shooting in Atlanta. There's incentive there. And the incentive is still there. The incentive has never changed. But what Atlanta's doing now is these companies like Delta, they decide, you know, they're going to support boycotts of something. The state legislature certainly has the power to revoke their tax incentives, and they did. Thanks very much for the call, Connie. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242. We'll take more of your calls and wrap things up after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Holding the Hackorama accountable is a full-time job.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Howie Carr will be back after this short break. Got hate mail?
You bloated idiot!
You stupid fat head, you!
Send it to Grace at HollyCarshow.com.
Want to share this story quickly before we go back to the phone lines. A postal worker in Michigan was viciously attacked by two enraged women as an onlooker accused them of trying to steal stimulus checks in the mail, in the mail carrier's van. The footage shows that there's damage to the mail carrier's truck, and there's a fight between these women and the female mail carrier. Allegedly, because their stimulus checks haven't come in yet. New York Post has the story. Check it out. Willie, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Taylor Cormier filling in. Go ahead, Willie.
Hey, Taylor. How's it going?
Good.
I just want to start out by saying I love you guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
But I wanted to play devil's advocate with you for a minute and ask you if you could see it through the lens of it being the internet as infrastructure. I was wondering if you could see it through the lens of not having it in your home personally. I get that that's a luxury, but at this point in time and civilization where we're at running with everything on the internet, like when's the last time you paid cash for anything? I bet you used a debit card or a credit card. That's on the internet.
Right, right. But what's the ultimate question here, Willie?
So I'm wondering, like, isn't that infrastructure?
No. No. I use my debit card and credit card at private companies, right? If I go to a gas station, I fill up, my debit card transaction is going through that company's fiber optic lines, right? They're paying for those. So I'm paying the surcharge for them to, you know, have that internet service. And I'm also paying the fee on top of that for whatever good and or service I'm purchasing. That's infrastructure that they're paying for, if you want to classify it that way. But it's still a privately purchased good that they're utilizing to make it more convenient for myself. Now, where it could be seen as infrastructure is if you're in a library, for instance, and you're using the free, you know, workstations there, the free computers with free internet service. That is publicly funded internet if that's where you want to go. If you don't have it at your house, it's provided for you at your library in most circumstances. That's government-funded internet. I would hate to see the entirety of the internet and the fiber optic system turned over to the government. If the COVID pandemic is anything to look at as why you don't want that to happen, then look at it. We'll be back next week.